Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, welcome again, friends, to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful for everyone who might join us tonight. I recognize that we've been on hiatus here somewhat. We've cut our Thursday night episodes down, and we had a resident host that had been responsible for those, and sometimes he's on, sometimes he's not. This past week, I had a out-of-town family emergency, and so we were not able to pull together an episode for this past Tuesday. And there was no episode for Thursday night. All right. I'll take full blame for that. To our listening audience, we appreciate all of you who have followed us over the years. I want you to know I do not take your support, your engagement, and your considerations lightly. All right. But nonetheless, we're here tonight, and we've been striving to keep the dialogue going right here on Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. BFC Institute is our group on Facebook, and as you know, we started this journey about 5 years ago now, really, and the intent was to educate, to empower, and to transform urban American families, neighborhoods, communities, to improve the quality of life for young people, particularly at-risk males. All right? And so that's our focus. That's our focus. You just heard this show is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, or BFC Institute. And you've just heard a commercial relative to the school model that yours truly has proffered in the interest of providing guidance and focused learning and instruction. We're still yet working on that. We've taken on some other business ventures to assist us in that process. And we're working on it right here in Nashville, Tennessee. All right, we hope that can be ultimately in the future a model for other transformation. You hear me talk a lot about the problem and identifying the issues and describing behaviors. And I believe it would be a wrong of me, hypocritical of me. I would be remiss not to at least offer a solution, right, an answer. And so hence our efforts there. But nonetheless, we continue, and we are grateful again for all of our listening audience and the participation. So tonight is an open mic night. It's an open mic night, which simply means in the context of Talk Straight here, our show, I don't have a topic, and I'll open the floor to your question, your comments, and we will try to speak as intelligently as we can in response, all right, and maintain our decorum here and so forth. I realize some people may have kind of lost us for, again, the last week, so I understand that. But we want to open the show up here tonight, 657-383-0944. You're watching us on Facebook live stream, and you have something that's on your mind. A lot been going on across our nation over the last year. And some things I try not to bother, you know, to even address, but I realize it's affecting us all. And there are various sides, you know, to a lot of the issues. But let's have a sensible conversation. On Talk Straight, sometimes our passions get heated. And we have very heated discussions, and that's okay. That's human, right? That's okay. I believe that we can learn from those things, you know. Nonetheless, 657, that's the number you call. Call it right now into the studio, to the blogtalkradio.com platform for this broadcast. 657-383-0944. Did you get that? That number again is 657-383-0944. We'll put it out there. And get you to call in, you know. And you know, I appreciate the fact that there are a lot of people who work hard every day, and they just want the very best for them and their families, right? They're not looking for no drama. They don't want to have to wrestle with nobody, to argue, fuss, or fight. You know, I appreciate that. But Black's Law Dictionary, he says that a member of a political community is defined as a citizen. And if you live in a community or neighborhood, you are, that's part of what makes establish your citizenship. And I want you to know that whether you do anything about it or not, you know, you are going to be affected by the various issues that go on in your neighborhood, in your city, and your families are likely to be affected by it, right? So the question is, is there any way we avoid it? I'm not aware of one, but that's something we can talk about. Give us a shout here. 657-383-0944. Facebook, come on. Y'all, come on. Come on, get in here. Get in here where you fit in here. All right? And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play myself a little music until you call. And the floor is open. It's open mic night. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. All right? And we're glad to be back here with you. Hopefully, Pastor Ricky Waller can join us. You know, we'd love to have him. And let me just let him know he's been out busy and he's under weather for a minute, but he's back in the saddle, as I understand. And we certainly want you to keep praying for him and all of us, you know. I had a family member that was a little sick there. And, you know, it happens. We have our ups. We have our downs. Isn't that right, beloved? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, we do. But guess what? We press on. And what we don't do is let our setbacks, our disappointments, stifle us from moving forward and completing our journey. So, you know, let's keep it going. Let's keep it moving. Yeah. So I'm just sending a message out there, a shout out there. And all right, so let's do this. 657-383-0944. You call me. You got something on your heart, something on your mind. If you like what you're hearing, go on, give me a holler. Go on, give me a holler. And you know what I'm saying? We can chop it up. I saw these sisters right here, and they were singing in harmony. And one of the things I have over my lifetime learned to appreciate is when people can be on one accord. And I just want you to listen to them, man. You may not be religious or anything like that. That's okay. But I want you to listen to their harmony. I think they had at least a 2 or 3 part harmony here. I'd rather enjoy it. And I want to share it with you tonight. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're going to come right back. 657-383-0944. That is the number.
Save $70 a month on fuel with this simple trick.
Right now, and join in this discussion on this Tuesday night, November 23rd, 2021. Y'all know what that means, don't you? That means that we are soon into another year. We got less than 60 days for the new year come. And guess what? We have a new opportunity. Again, 657-383-0944. It's open mic. And I'm opening the mic to these sisters right here who are singing in good harmony. Listen to them.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear that? I'm supposed to be letting them sing on. Okay, all right. 657-383-094. It's open mic. Come on, get in. Give me a call here. We'll go sweeping through the city. We'll be like a tree that's planted by the river. It won't come back no more. Listen to them. 657-383-0944. Give us a holler here. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Dr. Doctor here. All right, we got a caller. And we got a caller out of St. Louis, it looks like. We go right to the phone line. Say, good evening, sir, St. Louis. This is Talk Straight, and you're on live right now. How are you, sir?
Well, what's going on this evening with you?
Well, we are back, and we missed last week. I had a out-of-town family emergency, and that took us off the air for a minute, but we're back. That's all. Back in.
Well, I hope everything went well.
Yes.
I see that you're back as lively as ever.
It reminded me of why we began some years ago talking about addressing urban American issues. Went up north there, and some young folk stole my car, man. Can you believe that? Stole my car, St. Louis.
Wait a minute now.
These my folk up here in this urban area. Man, stole my car. Man. What should I have done, St. Louis? How should I feel?
Should have walked back in the house.
They're going back in the house.
Yeah, maybe they bring it back when they're done with it.
No, you know what they did? Of course, we went through the process with insurance and everything, and we'll get another car. They were in a high-speed chase with law enforcement, man, after they tried to rob someone. They caught both of them. They caught both of the cars. And, you know, they asked me, you want to press charges? Of course. But, you know, why do people do that, man? Why do people do that, man? Well, you may not consider
human beings.
They my people, though. They my people.
They're human beings.
What?
Human beings do things.
I see.
Human beings do things under all sorts of conditions. And no matter how varying the conditions are, it kind of may dictate one way or the other on how they behave.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. You know, and my prediction is, you've heard me say this many times, some people think I'm hard on young black males, St. Louis, but I can just look at certain behaviors and make certain predictions, and they've come, unfortunately, they've proven themselves to be true. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the reality is, if you change your behavior, then you're not so much predictable in that manner anymore. You understand what I'm saying? There'll be other predictions that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not making no sense. What about that, St. Louis?
Well, it's based on where they come from.
Okay.
And the subculture that they derive from. You know, I was talking to a lady I know the other day. I think it was yesterday and maybe Sunday. I've known her for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a dream.
Mm.
And she was in the dream.
Mm.
So I called her up and said hello and everything. And I told her I had a dream that was she was in. But, you know, everything that she addressed me, it was yes, sir, no, sir. Now, this lady has kids that's grown.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, sir. No, sir, Baba. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Baba. How's so and so? Well, see, that is the culture that she came up in and practiced.
I see.
She was a teacher to my grandson.
Ah.
At one point.
Okay.
So there are pockets of what you would call ideal and really unusual. It's not the norm. It's the exception. They're out there.
Sure.
But you just don't run into them all the time, and they're not broadcasting.
Right. That's a good point. People are busy living their lives, trying to fulfill their dreams. They don't have time to be trying to stand around and get a whole lot of folk attention, do they? They're too busy.
You know, funny thing, we used to take the class places.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time we took the class down to Julius Davis Library. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was down there, Julius Davis on Natural Bridge and Euclid.
Okay.
Down
okay.
the street from Ray Higgins, where his place
oh,
is.
Yeah. No,
so the children was sitting in chairs across the front.
Uh-huh.
And the discussion was going on, so on, so on, so on. Well, do you know that some people in the audience went up and touched the kids to see if they was alive, real kids?
You're kidding me, man.
Ladies, I had said that I had to touch them to make sure that they were human. I looked not dolls or something. They were well-mannered and sitting still.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. When I taught school, I was a special ed teacher in high school, and my classes ranged from grades 9 through 12. Most of my students, though, were between 9 and 10th grade. I was bold, man, and most of them were pullouts, and then I had a full class, several full classes. I didn't, you know, I said to them, you see other people going on field trips, St. Louis, and everybody else getting out of school, The belief was if you're in special ed, you're locked in the basement and you don't really get to participate with everybody else. And most of these children were not special ed because they had physical ailments or blindness or they were crippled with their hands or their feet. It was their behavior. They listed it under their manifestation as learning disabled because of their behavior. Anyway, I told the principal, I'm going on a field trip. I'm taking my juniors and seniors to Fisk University so we can dream build about college. Okay, that was one trip. And we're going to take the underclassmen to the mall. Now, what did I do that for a second? Oh, my goodness. There are a few of them, though, who I pulled to the side, and we had a come to Jesus meeting before we even left the campus. And you know what I told them, St. Louis? There are people that don't believe you're capable of acting like a human. They expect that you're going to go out there and tear this city up. Are you going to make them out of a lie? Or are you going to say, you're going to prove what they said is true? No, and one young man, I said to him, listen, I'm paying for everybody's lunch. My wife and I paid for all of the, on both trips, the lunch. And make a long story short, I said to him, I want you to be able to enjoy that. We went to Fisk, man, and we looked on the campus. We ate in the cafeteria, and it was nice, man. But when we got to the mall, some of my little babies, man, their fingers got sticky in the stores. And you know what I did, didn't you say? You know what I did, don't you say, Lord? Come here, boy. Give me that. Go pay for it right now. You don't have, everywhere you go, you ain't got to steal. It make me think about what's going on right now in California and some other places, even in Chicago, where people are looting stores, man. And I mean,
isn't that horrible?
Our babies don't have to do that. And all I'm saying is we can love them enough, man, because that's what some people expect from them. Some people expect you going, you know what I mean? I just don't expect that from them. I expect that they're capable, man, of doing the best or producing their best. And here's my bleeding heart, though, St. Louis. That's my problem, man. That's my problem. I hope I'm living in reality. We're joined by 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. Welcome. I know you guys been missing us, 8112. I had a family emergency to attend to out of town, so missed us last Tuesday. But how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Hopefully the family is doing okay after whatever was going on.
Yes, ma'am.
How was Pastor Waller, if I may?
He's getting better. He was going to try to call in. I don't know if he'll make it tonight, but he's going to try to call in.
I understand. Just my love and my best wishes and the family as well. And I'm not going to stay too long because I also have something going on. But I did want you to know I love you guys and I want to reach out.
Yes, ma'am. St. Louis is with us tonight. I appreciate that. We do appreciate you calling in here.
Yes, sir. I'm going to try to listen for a little bit and then I'm going to have to get off. How long is it going to last tonight? An hour, 2 hours to get?
Hour and 30 minutes. We're going to do an hour and 30. So we'll cut off here about 8:30.
Okay.
And we just want to make sure we kept the airways open there. That's all. But we appreciate
that. Yes, sir. I'm glad. What's the topic?
All right. Well, it's open mic, so it's on you.
Oh, my goodness.
St. Louis and I were just talking about some realities about my babies. I'm claiming them. They my babies. Went up there and got my car stolen. Stole my car. It almost made the preacher want to cuss. Help us, Holy Ghost. Ain't that a mess, St. Louis? Made the preacher want
to
cuss.
That's the devil trying to step in.
But I said that to say that that's what I've been talking about mm-hmm. urban American experiences in cities. And I predicted that there was a risk of certain things. That was one of them. And the police told me that they've been stealing that particular make of cars more than any other one. And It was a Kia Sport.
Oh, Kia.
And they called.
Sure, Pastor, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but may I ask you this?
Absolutely.
Is this just happening only in urban America or all over?
Oh, no, in urban America.
Well, I tell you what, it can happen. It can happen anywhere. My experiences have been that when you look at police reports, okay, that
police
this
reports,
where
you know they liars. Some of them.
Sheriffs tell you the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure that these are lies, though, 12. And what I'm saying is that if you look at them in each of these areas, when I say urban, we define what urban is. We define what urban, and we define what urban American is. And it, the truth is what it is.
When you talk about urban America, I define it as you're talking about the hood, where individuals of all nationalities don't have as much money as some of them, and it's called the ghetto. You can be black or white or yellow and live in the hood.
That's interesting you say that, 12, because urban America is not the same as it was 30 years ago. It is being gentrified.
Yes, it is. Are you the same as you were 30 years ago?
No, I'm not. But
you were a young 30 years ago.
Ma'am.
This world don't revolve around us. It keeps on moving. And with time, if you be blessed to live so long, you called it,
right.
You said it's on me, now you know my mouth.
Okay.
If you
okay.
are blessed to live so long, what? You think things going to stand still because you've been blessed to get older and the world don't change? The world can go either way, and it's going to the left right now instead of to the right. And it's not
about
the world, people of the world.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's
well, how
in
about
the
this?
World.
Yes, ma'am. How about this, though? You know what's happening in many urban areas? And we identify those by census tracts. People that have lived in certain blocks or communities for literally generations in housing areas are being, the buildings are torn down. Those people are moved out, and they're building condos and expensive homes and what have you. And those people can't afford to live there anymore. So
remember when it happened in Chicago, when you lived there, I lived there,
They
tore Robert Taylor and all them projects down, and
they
built so-called condominiums for the people that are supposed to be protected and live there. It's not only happened in just there. Then they start building scatter sites all over town, please.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
True
and that's
or
all
not
I-
true?
No, that's true, and that's all I was saying. I agree with you. That's all I was saying about urban America has changed now, and the people there are not just African-Americans, and they are slowly but surely transforming it from the traditional ghetto or impoverished area to very upstandard living. It's in St. Louis. They're doing it in St. Louis. They're doing it there in Peoria. They're doing it in Chicago, right here in Nashville.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. That's
but
all I'm saying.
Here's the catch to that.
Okay.
What they're doing is they are call themselves bringing it up the poverty areas, but then at the same time they're still labeling them. They've got a sticker on your back.
I see.
Well they got to have people that can pay the taxes and for the other services. That's I don't know what else to tell you.
Louis, that's true too. But the services, in order to live in a community, whatever community you live in, does not make you any less of a person.
That's true, too.
It does not.
Now,
and when people label you and start treating you like you are nothing or beneath a lot of folks, you're not beneath anybody. I won't believe that. I would not swallow that. I'm going to ask y'all to stop.
Okay.
I won't
believe
that because this right here doesn't always have to be the case. A lot of people got where they got because they struggled. They worked their behinds off to accomplish the things that they do have.
True.
And a lot of them get caught up in the limelight, but at the same time, somebody say, oh, you trying to sound like you this color or that color. You think you better than me. Oh, such you don't know my struggle that I went through to produce the lifestyle that I live.
Okay.
Is that unfair to say?
No, I think that's right. No, I think that's right. But St. Louis wanted to respond to something you were saying. You made some great points.
Well, you have to areas have to be viable. They have to be viable in order to produce enough revenue to sustain schools, sustain the services that you receive from the parks and recreation, the police, the trash pickup. And if you're not deriving enough revenue out of areas, either through sales tax or whatever, then something has to be changed because it becomes a burden.
Correct. So, here's what I'm saying. And I think the question is, well, why didn't they put that interest and build the place up when blacks stayed there, largely blacks stayed there, who many times were impoverished on public assistance and things. And that's not a ding on them, but that was a reality. Well, here's the truth. I remember, do you all remember when it was about 25 cities went up in flames and after Dr. King was killed, right? And many of those cities never came back until now within the last 20, 25 years when they've been gentrified. And the
who's bringing them back? That's private dollars is bringing them cities back.
I concur.
Governments don't – see, people get the misconception governments don't build cities because you are the government. So if you are in marginal, you don't have the wherewithal to build cities because you just don't have it. So it's going to go denied. Until a private entity see what they can do and how they would get a return on their investment, that's when those things go down.
Well, St. Louis, let me offer this for your consideration. In 1996, interestingly enough, under Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House, they developed what was known as the Hope 6 Project. It was plans that are being manifest today to revitalize certain urban areas, transform them. We call it gentrification. And what's happening, though, is those monies that are federal dollars are being given to private builders and people that are flipping homes and what have you to renovate them with the promise that you're going to restore that neighborhood to a viable place. The people that are building them are not trying to live there. They're just trying to build them and sell them. But when
listen to what you said.
Okay, but guess what happened, guys,
Let me finish one point.
They forget about the people try to vitalize and flip them and all this great stuff. They're doing what they do to benefit themselves. They're not doing it for the people of urban America. How about that?
I agree. But wait a minute now. Hold on, St. Louis. I'm going to give it to you. But watch this well. Watch this now. Interestingly enough, the 2017 tax plan, Brother Tim Scott out of South Carolina offered a measure that will incentivize some of those very people that will receive capital gains from those from their work, from their investments, to be able to reinvest in urban neighborhoods so that minorities who had been long time without them can start their own businesses. But guess what we haven't seen very much of? Well, I haven't seen very much participation from those people that was targeted for. That's the way to keep you there.
Talk about the majority of the ones that is participating. They only speak of the ones that are not participating, Pastor.
Okay.
And not
Fair
only
enough.
That. It's
Fair
just
enough.
Like when you look at the news and you see a few majorities of certain cultures doing great things. They pick and choose what they speak upon.
That's true. That's partially true.
You're going to say however or but. Which one?
Yeah, well, it's I'm going to say chicken butt. How about that? Chicken butt.
Okay.
Let me bring St. Louis. It's a chicken butt to that now. You're right.
It is
a
chicken butt to that. That's why
chicken
I asked
butt
the
to
question.
That. Let me, St. Louis was going to say something. I don't want to
be
rude.
Well, the federal government will give you some teasing money to get you involved.
Correct.
All right. See, people will build it, but they ain't going to live there.
That's right.
Okay. Then right. if they build it, if the people that people think ought to be living there or that was there and got pushed out, they mm-hmm. can't come back.
No, they
but
can't
see,
afford.
While they was there, here's the thing. While you are there, you can raise yourself, elevate yourself to however high you want to. Nobody's stopping you. And you can develop just like you want. But it never happened.
That's correct. This is the chicken butt I was going to give the 12, St. Louis. When I was running for office, what I said to the minorities that were being encroached by these gentrifiers and people want to buy their houses for pennies, keep your house. Go down there, and in this case here in Nashville, is Metro Housing Development had the federal dollars that are used to renovate these homes, right? The government say your home has to meet certain specs by a certain time, and they have money to help you do that. Keep your property.
Absolutely
all
right.
All these folks do, St. Louis and 12, is they come in. And they get your property. Once they get your property, it's in their name, so they qualify for what? The monies for the redevelopment. You don't know more because you gave up the deed to them. Don't do that. You can rebuild your house the same way and tell, no, I ain't selling. I know a few people who, well, one gentleman passed, one member of my church. Go ahead.
Now, that's just one area.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now you got schools. See, you need family. You need mother and father that's going to raise kids. That's put the vitality into an area.
Okay.
And the kids got to go to school.
They do. They do.
I love that. School where they got mothers and fathers living together. Hell, excuse me. Part of them.
You got to have. You got to get back to functional.
But they always arguing, fighting, debating about some of them.
You have to get back. You have to get back to functional.
I'm sorry, St. Louis. I interrupted.
Okay. You got to get back to functional family, mother,
okay.
father, then grandmother and grandfather.
Okay. Well,
that produces a functional family.
Okay.
Now, anything else is what you got. It ain't gonna work. It's not gonna be ideal. It's always gonna be lacking.
I was raised by my mom. And the reason why I'm saying this because I'm passionate about it.
Have you got kids?
What heck of a job, sir.
Yeah, and but have you got children?
I got seven children. Had seven.
All right, now, all your children married, back, get home. All your children. Well, you know, lady, I can't talk to you because you talk over me. Let me say this. Well, wait a minute. This is the thing. This is the thing. This is the thing. I am not suffering from that. I don't want to live in those areas and don't. I'm trying. See, you know, that's the thing, Reuben. They say that the doctors and the lawyers move out of the community and don't come back and help those that's left. We come back and try to help them. They talk over us.
You ain't helping nobody. You ain't helping me. Hell, I don't live in
I don't
want to
help you.
Ain't
nobody trying to help you. I'm talking.
Hello. We're just having a discussion, and there are people who can use this help, and hopefully from our discussion we can find some.
Nobody's coming back to an area that's got raggedy schools. How your kids going to learn?
Well, that's
just think about it. No, just think about it. Think.
Well,
if you got mother, father, and you got children, those children mm-hmm. got to go to school. They want those children to get well educated so that they can start off at least as well as or better than the mother and father. And
well,
you have to
happening.
Have grandfather and grandmother in the mix. That's
Let
where it's been for. That's the way it's been
okay,
since
guys.
Civilizations.
All right, let me respond.
Especially
to that.
Western civilizations.
Let me respond to that. What's happening within the last 5 years or so, and particularly after COVID, a lot of parents, and I'm not just talking about white parents, black parents are realizing the importance of their choice of how monies are spent to educate. And I'm talking about public dollars now that typically go and traditionally go to public school systems. There's a great push now around the country a wave of thought that says we should be able to take those dollars, those tax dollars, the large amount come from your local tax, then your state.
And they're absolutely right. Can you imagine a child? Let me ask you something. Can you imagine, you know why children come from the stable family, go into these classrooms, they get bored? Because the teacher had to work with the other kids on things that these kids already know. They already know how to tell time. They already know how to count to a certain level.
All right.
They already know how to curse or write. They already know their names. They already know their phone numbers. Well, if you got that child who learned that from a functional family is sitting in a classroom where the teacher's got to go over with a large number of the other children, that child's going to get bored. He ain't going to sit there and listen to them. You have to take those children out of that environment. Now, what happens when you take them out of that environment? Well, if you got 10 children, and if you got 5 kids that's scoring 100, and you got 5 kids that's scoring 10, well, if you take them 5 that's scoring 100 out, what is it going to do to the rest of the classroom? That's the reason why they don't want to let them go.
Well, let me say this.
Because it becomes obvious that ain't no learning going on here.
Right. One of the reasons charter schools, all probably 40 years ago now, legislation began in various cities, and many of them started in urban areas, is because they understood that there was a need for something different, some innovation from what was traditionally being practices that are taught. So they gave these smaller groups monies in order for them to be innovative in their instruction with the expectation of greater academic performance and outcomes. Now, what we've seen is a mixed bag with that now. Unfortunately, like 12 was saying, there were individuals who were greedy, and they were only starting charter schools as a money-making racket. Not because they
were... Well, that's because the people, you know why that is, don't you? You know why that is?
Yeah, I do. Hold on one second. Let me finish this point. It's not because they were invested in the neighborhood that those children lived in, or that they really were concerned about that, as it was, this was a money-making opportunity. It was job security when they came to these cities, got a charter, and was able to operate schools. And oftentimes, they were not doing any better than the public schools around.
Well, you still didn't hit on the point why that happened. It was because there was no people in the community that could come forth and take advantage of the opportunity that was presented to them and put their own schools in place. That's what it came up to be.
They have the funds to put their own money in.
They would receive the funds. The money was there.
Sir, you claim you this billionaire, so you wouldn't understand.
He didn't say that.
Girl, why don't you go someplace? I get so damn crazy, please. Go ahead.
Where you're sitting at, in my heart. In my heart, I'm not sitting
If parents and neighborhood groups had a step forward, like they claimed that they were supposed, that they were there and put the youth institutions in place, they provided them with everything that they needed. All you had to do was go out and get a building and go get an additional sponsor to cover the things they would do. And they didn't do it, Reuben. Not to no great extent. You know, in Missouri, in Missouri, we worked on the Imhotep Academy, which would have been the first charter school in the city of St. Louis.
Let them finish, and I'll come right to you, okay? Go finish your thought there, St. Louis.
As I said, we worked on the first charter school in the city of St. Louis, myself and another group.
Okay.
And the state board of education was giving us all kinds of problems because of the unions. They didn't want to see that. They wanted to stay the way it is. We had to even sue. We sued the state. We went to Judge Durker Court in the Civil Courts Building in downtown St. Louis and sued the state of Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Okay. All right. Well, let me hear from 12 right quickly, and then I want to jump in and I want to say something to you guys. I want to tell you about something. Go ahead, 12. What were you going to say?
Are you talking to me, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't hear
PR Illinois. PR Illinois. You were trying to say something. I wanted to give St. Louis an opportunity to finish his thought and then give you an opportunity to say what you were going to say.
I didn't mean to interrupt St. Louis. However, I can disagree with St. Louis on most of the things that St. Louis says.
Okay.
My point is, how can you talk that talk if you have not walked that walk and you ain't been placed where certain people have been placed at? I don't care what color you are. You speak, but you're talking about the millions and the this and the that and everything. But when you have been where certain people have been, then you only get to talk that talk because you walk that walk. If you have not done that in your life, because that wasn't the part of your life, and I respect that too. Excuse me. I don't downgrade anyone for the life that either they have chose to live or the life that's been put in front of them or the life that they have, however, became to know.
Got it. Okay.
There's a lot of good people go through a
so
lot
when,
of...
So when the... In 1998, when the charter law became in existence
the
in the state of Missouri, it applied to two cities,
Kansas City,
Missouri.
Hold on.
Will you mute her while I'm trying to talk to you?
I know you like that. Hold on, Pastor, if I may ask you, please, sir. I respect your show, and I don't mean no harm, but you said we have open mic. You know how I get on those.
We do, but we all can't talk at the same time, and I need you.
Yes, you are absolutely correct, sir.
I wanted to give everybody an equal opportunity, but
I'll be quiet. I'm sorry.
Work with me. I don't want you to go nowhere, but, you know, we can't. We're going to have chaos that way. St. Louis
That's
was trying
true.
To.
This is true.
You were saying,
I
you were making a point.
This.
You were making a point, and St. Louis was trying to dialogue with you on making a
I'm not trying to dialogue with her. I was talking to you.
You dialogue with me. You dialogue with me. Okay, go ahead, St. Louis. Then I want to say something. Let me say
now,
something.
Now, as I said before, talking to you ruined.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that in 1998 when the state legislature passed the law,
mm-hmm.
It gave people in those two cities, Kansas City, Missouri, and St.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, Missouri, the opportunity to start their own educational institutions based on under the premise of charter, which are public schools.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
It was certain groups. You had the Bill Monroe with Thurgood Marshall. You had Bayard. Mr. Bayard, I don't think they ever got anything going. And then you had the Imhotep group. Then later on, some other groups came along.
Okay.
Well, right now, what happened is that you had these for-profit organizations like Beacon,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
You had, I can't even name them all, but it's only like a few now. Well, KIPP Academy, yes, and a couple others. Well, parents could have started anything that they wanted to.
Okay.
There's a process that they had to follow, but
they didn't do it. Let me say this. There is a case study of a parent who's now about 70-some years old now, brother by the name of Howard Fuller in Milwaukee.
I know Howard. Howard with Bayo.
All right, hold on one second. Let me share this with you. This is a case study in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He felt the strong need for minorities or African Americans to have good quality education, and he saw that the public school system failed to offer that. So he organized parents, an extraordinary example. And this is the point that is being made. He organized parents. This was in the 90s or so when he did that, and they successfully... He successfully started his own school, founded his own school. It wasn't because he wanted to compete with the school system, but he wanted to make sure that those babies in Milwaukee, which happened to be minority, black, got a quality education. So he took the lead. And so there are people who did that. Not enough of
them. Well, I know the people in Milwaukee. You had the Polly, somebody with the NAA, you had Michael Hope. And you had another gentleman. He's dead now. He died. Michael Hope wrote a book on it. It's called Not Yet Free at Last.
Okay.
It's a good book. You should read it.
All right. All right. All right. All
on the Milwaukee, in Milwaukee effort.
There are examples of people in 12. Fuller wasn't rich. He wasn't popular. He wasn't a, you know, he wasn't even an educator. He was just a parent that was concerned about the education of his children. And it led
now,
to a greater effort.
Fuller went on with that organization to provide a consultant and support system for those who wanted to take the route and take advantage of charter school. We one of his we had a representative of his. She was in St. Louis. Then I think she went to Chicago, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Then next thing I know, Bayo was about ready to go out of business.
Yeah. The point here is, and I hear what 12 is saying, I hear her loud and clear, that there are people who struggle, and oftentimes 12, I don't think it's not that they don't want to, but oftentimes they're not aware of the fact that there are options that they have beyond what's given to them by the government. That's what I think the issue is. And the school system had no interest in educating them about those options outside of traditional.
They weren't going to do it.
Well, no,
we worked with Bertha Gilkey. We worked with Bertha Gilkey, who created the tenant management in Cabrini Green in Chicago, and Cochran here in St. Louis. There in St. Louis, at the time, with the help of Jack Kemp, with the Reagan administration.
Okay. 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 Okay.
But later on, with working with Bayo, she was able to take over 2,200 kids out of the St. Louis public schools informing their parents that there was other options. So there was 2,200 kids that she affected, and they, you know, pulled them out of the St. Louis public schools and went to these alternatives.
May I ask you this, sir? How was she able to do that alone?
You know, I'm not talking to you.
Okay, talk to me. Ask me that question.
Okay, you don't. But I'm just
right,
I'm asking you. Now, we're supposed to be fair to each other.
No. You argue too much.
I'm not arguing with you.
Ma'am, please. I told you, ma'am, look, I told you what I wasn't going to do. I mean, can we just agree on that?
For you, then.
Go ahead, Ruben. I'm here. You breaking up.
Okay. Sometimes there are people who are frustrated, right, and concerned to know what options are available to them. And it seems like they're angry and they're aggressive. It's just that in the last year, a few months or so, 9 to 12 months or so, is that people have gotten an opportunity to really see some of the ideas that were being surfaced and paddled in schools around the nation.
You know what else happens too, Ruben? Yeah. You know what else happens is that, and you still breaking up. I don't know if it's my phone or not.
Let me finish, St. Louis. I'm gonna come right to you.
Yes, better.
What they realize is that the basic reading, math, English, and writing are not the whole interest in what has been in the country.
It's breaking up. I can't hear you guys. Hello? No, there's something wrong. It's breaking up. Are you there?
I'm here.
I don't understand why. I don't know what's going on, but it's in and out.
Okay, just hold tight. Hold tight. Hold tight.
All right.
St. Louis,
all right.
Go ahead, and then we're going to recognize 3072 out of Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, what I was going to tell you, the one reason why come those things come to an end is because the people that participated in the 1990s, their kids is grown, and they didn't continue to live in that area. They moved. So if they move, if the kids, if the children move and raise families elsewhere, then those areas are going to go into further decay. St. Louis Public Schools had over 100,000 students. Now it's down to probably about 22,000. And that's just the way it is. They leave. Nobody's going to raise kids in areas where the schools are depleted. It's not that they don't have money, because St. Louis Public Schools have more money per child published in the newspaper, listed a lot of schools, than their white counterparts in other areas. But, I mean, the kids, people just don't raise kids. You got crime. You got the lack of services. You got condemnation and decay. And you got bad schools. So when you put all together, people go elsewhere. And that's what happens.
Okay. 3072, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. How are you? Welcome. Welcome.
Hey, I'm doing great. I was just calling in to listen to the show. I miss hearing you guys' voice.
Hey,
3072.
All
right.
Hey.
All right. Glad to have you. We got about another 30 minutes on.
And you know, the funny thing about that, Ruben, is that the places where, you know, it's a constant movement of people. Blacks move, whites move, and even some blacks move. Now, where they left the cities and went out to the counties, those school districts have academically decayed also.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the closer you are to the city, they decay the worst. Then the next step, in other words, you got east, you got central, and you got west. Now you're starting to see the decay in the far west portion of their school district. And I don't know what to tell you about that. You see, the only reason that could be happening is because the parents of these kids are not putting the effort and what they need to do in order to make those children more successful than what they are. It makes no sense for the math proficiency in a school district to be 25%.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, take your point. Let me give people, I know she's just listening, but I was explaining that even though it's open, speaking largely about some of the challenges in urban areas, particularly related to the people and their social emotional development and so forth, and some of the barriers. So I just made reference to a fellow by the name of Charles who moved in the 90s in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he said what parents can do when they're unified. We're seeing a lot of that now after COVID. So you would you like to respond to that 3072?
Well,
speak in your phone.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
It's still breaking up, Pat.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the same thing. I was just going to say that a lot of the conversation, I've only been on here a few minutes, has been very choppy, so I'm just going to listen.
Guys back in, so we
can hear from it's still breaking up.
All right, hold on. Hold on 1 second. All right, now, 72, can you hear me better?
Yes.
You can hear me better?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead. What we've been talking about, hold on, 8112 and St. Louis, I'll be right with you. What we've been discussing is the challenge historically with children learning in public schools and now the exposure to a lot of deviation from focus on critical things like reading, math, and English and so forth. And basically in a lot of areas that parents had not known or were not aware, and they were not motivated to make a difference for their children. We see that more and more now in the last few months, and that's what we've been talking about. So would you like to respond to that thought quickly, and then we'll bring the others in?
Oh, no. I'm just listening. No.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Let me go to 12. She was trying to say something. Let me go to 12. 12, can you hear me now? I'm trying to mute you there. 17.
I still hear a lot of friction in the back, but however, I will say this. There's a lot of more parents than you think that participate in within their children's education.
Okay.
In
okay.
urban America, sir. And,
okay.
And imagine, there's a lot of things that goes on, as I've said before, in people's lives that other people sometimes don't understand nor get.
Okay.
Same
okay.
as our parents. They went through a lot of channels to get things done. Some of these young folks, I see more of these young daddies these days sometimes on the streets with the pushing the strollers than the mamas.
Okay.
I see a lot of them trying to help the mamas, some of them.
Sure, sure.
Take care of the children. I think our young men don't get enough credit for the things that they are trying to do. So if you feel like you're trying to do these things with your kids, for whatever the reasons, things don't work out the way you're trying to do them.
Okay.
Then I'm danged if I do, I'm danged if I don't.
I see.
Some of them lose where they're supposed to be encouraged. Some of them lose the confidence within themselves is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. So if someone has succeeded at what they've done, come from a different walk of life.
Right.
That don't give anyone the right to put anyone down.
Okay.
Does it or does it not?
No, absolutely. That's not fruitful. That's not productive.
Now,
we should not be, 12, we should not be opposed to constructive criticism. But if anyone's criticism is just destructive and it's not useful, it ain't no need to keep it to yourself. But we should be open to constructive criticism in order to improve ourselves and others around us. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that, but I would agree with this, sir, that do not discourage, encourage.
I agree, yeah. We're
because
saying the same
a lot of people go through a lot of things other people just don't get. And if you ain't got it, they feel like you don't understand.
Got it.
What we need is for them to understand you're not by yourself.
Okay.
I've been done that is what I think that they need. I don't need nobody to brag about to me how far or successful they have got if they have not or cannot or will not participate in my feelings.
Okay.
And I think we lose a lot of children like that along the way is what
that
I think.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. Hold tight right there. Hold tight right there. Looks like the static was in everybody being open at the same time. Some kind of way we get feedback. St. Louis.
Well, let me give you an example of what I was saying. And you probably understand the alignment of cities in St. Louis. You got St. Louis, the urban area. Then you go to the county, right on their western edge.
Right, right.
Now, most of the people in St. Louis City is moving north, west. And the school districts out there, a major concern is Hazelwood. Hazelwood has three different high schools. It's got Hazelwood East, which is closest to St. Louis. It's got Hazelwood Central, which is furthest from than east, going west. Then you got Hazelwood at West. Now, check this out. Hazelwood West is 63% black. Hazelwood Central is 93% black. Hazelwood East, which is closest to St. Louis, is 98% black. Now, look at the data. Hazelwood East, which is 98% black, closest to the city. Math proficiency is 17%. Reading proficiency is 35%. Getting away from that, where it's 93% black, Hazelwood Central, their math proficiency is 28%. Reading proficiency is 42%. It's higher than East. Now, going to West, where it's only 63% black, math proficiency is 20, I'm sorry, it's the wrong school. Math proficiency is 45%. Reading proficiency is 52%. So the further you get away from the urban area and the less black it is, the higher the scores are. Now, what's associated with that? Simple. You got families.
Okay.
The closer you are to the urban area, you are lacking the functional family. The further you get to away from the urban area, where you got 63% black and 37% white, you got more functional family. Therefore, the children is going to do better. And it shows here on the data.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, I will say that for sure, when you track all of the variants or variables that factor into you know, teaching and learning, that's a fact, you know. But just because someone does not know or does not have the level of understanding does not mean they're not deserving of someone telling them and informing them. I'm convinced that when people become more aware, as we're seeing now in the last year, people have become more aware. And I'm not talking about people that are that have advanced degrees. They're becoming more aware of why their children are not learning anything, because you have people in schools, not everybody, but too many people, and a lot of times in administrative positions with agendas, political agendas. And their interest is not necessarily to see to it that children are educated. And
well, isn't that the responsibility of the parents? Hazelwood East got the more blacks, 90. I told you, they got 98% of that high school, 9 through 12, is black.
Your point is what?
They have the worst scores.
I understand.
But when you go out to where it's 63% black out in Hazelwood West, then you got the higher scores. Now, what's the difference between those two areas? Well, one thing is the family makeup. You got a functional family in the household.
Well, here's one major difference. Here's one major difference. And this is one of the measurements of an effective school leader or administrator in a school district. And that is how well they engage the community, whether it's single-parent household headed or two-parent household. And sometimes they're homeless, so there's no parent, right? There are a lot of children in foster school, but you have examples of administrators, school principals, and superintendents who understand that, and they're working very diligently to address those social issues in those communities so that they can eliminate the barriers to learning for those children, even if they're from a single-parent home. So it's possible for a child who's not from a dual parent home to have success academically. It's about
when you go to the counties, they don't have that type of money to be putting in the things that you find in them city schools. I mean, just you can say Hazelwood West don't have no washer and dryers in their schools.
I get that.
You go down to the city, they do.
I get that.
Hazelwood West is performing Heads and Hills above when you go back down into urban areas.
Again,
they have less problems. You go in some of those schools, they don't even have metal detectors.
St. Louis.
They don't have they don't have a preponderance of security in Hazelwood West. When I'm telling you, it's not just that what an administrator wants. An administrator can only work with what they got. That's it.
They can only work
with what they got. It all starts at the home.
Well, it does.
That's where it starts at. Where else is it going to start at? You have a child coming out of a functional family, and whatever the economic status is that they are forced to stay there in, say, Hazelwood East, whereas they should be moving their child to Hazelwood West. Well, they can't. They don't live in that area unless they want to pay tuition. Well, I'm for them being able to go there and pay, and the money follow the child.
Got it. Let me cut in for a second, Fanny. I think your point is well taken in jest. Here's the thing, though. It's not so much money, and it's not material, as it is the pedagogy. And when I talk about pedagogy or teacher instruction or style of instruction, largely that involves being able to communicate and partner with the parent of those children, regardless of what their socioeconomic status is. If you can't reach them, you can't teach them. And that is the problem. I don't care how much money you throw at it or anything, that's not going
to
solve it.
Well, you know what I've heard, and I hate to say this, I've heard teachers say that these kids are just unteachable.
Well, and
matter of fact, let me tell you something. That's not true because no matter who you put up there, you can put Moses up there. If you got something that don't understand, it can't. It's just like I told you. If you got kids, well, Reuben, look. I know. I've been in these schools.
Hold on.
You got some kids don't even know their mother's first name. They only know by the nickname.
Okay.
Let's have a dialogue.
Well, you keep cutting me off when I get ready to talk.
If you don't mind, sir, I think I'm giving you ample time to speak.
When I get to saying something, you I can't tell if it's break up or what.
I would like for you to stop for a second and slow down, sir. Okay? You said a lot tonight, and you've had a lot to put on the floor. We appreciate that. And I think you're making some valid points. But I do want you to pause for a second to hear some other things and some other factors. What I was going to say to you is that if anyone is in any profession, a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, where you are serving people and you have the mindset that they are unservable or serviceable, you don't need to be there because you don't have their best interest. Your statement says that you don't have
their
best interest. And that's probably not the place you need to be. If you don't believe that you can help them, you should leave quickly.
Yeah.
Run out of there because you're going to cause more harm.
Well, you know what? That's what they're doing.
I agree.
That's what they're doing. That's why they got a shortage. They can't get no male black teachers. They ain't going to teach there.
Well, okay. All right. St. Louis, I hope you don't mind, but I do want to give 72 an opportunity to.
Have it.
Go ahead, 72. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to agree. Somebody brought up Moses. I think he could reach the people. He reached the multitude, and it all came from just not being frustrated with they don't know their parents' name or this or that. He worked on, then maybe I need to teach you their name. Maybe I need to have, again, compassion. Maybe I need to have understanding. Again, so with people not understanding the plight or the dynamics or the whys or the what ifs or the trying even, then, you can't reach anybody. And so I have to agree with him then, they're not being reached because there's not enough want to reach.
Well, let me ask you a question, 72.
You're right, Pastor Dockery, with the monies and all that. Exactly. When institutions or whoever come into the schools with the money, if they have their own agendas, then they're not just so concerned about scores or whatever percentages of this people knowing this or that. They weren't about making their quota.
And let me ask you. Let me ask you a friendly question.
I think that's the problem. Go ahead.
Maybe you can explain. Then you can explain something to me. If you got a classroom with 20 kids in it, you got 10 of the kids come from functional homes. I'm talking about where the parents make sure that they prepare when they get to school. They can say their ABCs, they can count, they can write their name, they know the telephone number, they know the difference between an orange and a banana and all that. That's 10 of the 20. Now, if you got the other 10 in the same classroom and they don't know those things, so what do? You hold back the 10 that do until the other 10 try to catch up, but in many cases time they never catch up, or you you let that other 10 go on into the next challenge and let somebody work with the other 10 that's coming from dysfunctional backgrounds.
Then what do I will do?
Wait a minute. Do you hold the one back for the other?
Okay, let her answer you now. We got 14 minutes. Go ahead, 10 to 2.
All right, and I'll be quick. Then what I do is I make sure, since the other ones are already on task and on point, then I make sure that the other ones catch up. Now,
yeah, but you can't because to do so, you holding the ones that's on task up.
Hold on. Let her finish, St. Louis. Let her give her your response. Let her give her your response. Give her your response. Go ahead.
Now, holding back or anything else, they're going to excel anyway because they're already equipped, like you said. They're prepared. But it's not fair to let the other ones not be prepared and not become equipped and not teach them because, you know, maybe you in the back of your mind feel like they're lost cause and these other people are greater. In the public school setting, and I mean private school is something different, but in the public schools, and I think that's what you guys were referring to the most, then they should have a right to be educated and taught. I thought that was the whole reason for public education.
Do you remember, did you ever come up under tracking?
Most of us did.
No, I can't say. Tracking was this.
Let me tell you what tracking was. There was a time when you coming out of grade school, going into high school, you could either go into vocational school, you could go into liberal arts school, or you can go to a traditional high school. This is going into high school. Well, they used to test you in order to put you in a track. If you test out the track one, track two, if you test out in track two, you can go to the vocational school, but they figure based on your aptitude, you would do well in a vocational school. Okay? If you test out where they figure you wouldn't do well, you didn't have no mechanical aptitude, they would put you in a liberal arts school.
But I know of some success stories that did maybe test well.
We're talking about thousands of kids.
But when they were equipped, then they were able to test in. So, again, with giving anybody a chance under reasonable circumstances, meaning I will catch you up and you can show that you're able to be caught up, then, yeah. Now, somebody that maybe is having trouble or they're a little slower, then, of course, they need more time. But you should at least afford them the opportunity.
Nobody's saying that you couldn't afford them. What I'm saying is this. It's just like if you go to the airport. If they tell you that the plane is boarding, those who are there on time with their ticket, they get on the plane. When they close the gate, all of a sudden you got 10 or 15 people coming down and say, here I am. Well, the gate's closed. They're not going to open the gate.
Well, but you don't know why they... Okay.
They're not going to open the gate and hold the flight up because you come in here late and you want to get on. You're going to have to catch the next plane.
Well, it would all depend on the circumstances and the reasons that they're late. Now, if they paid their money, go ahead. I'll be done.
Yeah, boarding is at a certain time. You got to be there.
Okay.
Here's the difference in that analogy of a plane and children in the classroom. The plane is optional. You don't have to take a plane. That's really a privilege. But when it comes to state compulsory school attendance and that civil right of a quality education, that's not optional. Now, if a teacher is not equipped to teach every one of their people,
thank you,
replace them with somebody that can, that wants to, and is willing to. Now, part of the issue with public schools, having come from them myself and taught in them, is that there are policies that are antiquated. The tracking system, if, in my opinion, the tracking system is one of the worst things for particular minority students, because it is selective about opportunities they provide them. When somebody, you take a test today and you don't do well on the test, that's not an indication fully of your capability, especially if you were hungry or if you were
speaking. Well, let me say you another thing, Ruben. My grandson went to LSU. On orientation day, he had to take a test, a math test.
Okay.
Now, if he didn't score in a certain 90 percentile, he would have had to go back and take high school math.
Understood.
So what that is telling you, if you are not prepared, you don't come here. You go back until you get prepared. It's the same thing in the classroom.
Saying that he's not prepared. That's not
in the same
that.
Thing in high school. Well, that's the way it is. If you don't score a certain grade on that orientation day at college day, on orientation day, if you're trying to get into engineering and you got to take Calc 1, well, you can't handle Calc 1. That test will let you know. You got to go back to your high school.
But how do you know? Maybe they just wasn't trying to take the test. Maybe, a number of things could
have
happened.
When you come, you're supposed to be ready.
Okay.
So here's a true story. Here's a true story, guys. True story. That was a young man who had some mitigating circumstances at home. He was scheduled to come in, take a standardized test, right, and had prepared himself for it. But guess what? He missed getting there in time to sit for the test. Now, what they did was to send a failure or a notice of failure because he didn't take the test and he didn't have it available, right? It was not until after he made the case and had the opportunity to take it and did well on it that they had to modify that. So what's the point I'm trying to make? The point is that there are circumstances where often, especially in standardized tests, research pans that out, is that they're not the best indicator of where an individual's level of performance and understanding is. It is an indicator, but it's not often the best and only, which is why you look.
Well, let me give you another example. When people came out to my projects and they wanted to well, they had to take a welding test.
That makes sense.
If they didn't pass the welding test, if they've done their welding specimen and when it was tested and it showed flaws, they didn't work on that job.
I understand that. That makes sense.
That's fact. Here's another point. In private institution, on the SAT test, Asian students start off before they even sit down and the test begins. They start off with a negative 140.
Okay.
Hispanic kids start off with a plus 130. And black kids start off with a plus 310, even before they sit down and take the test. You know why they do that? They do that because they figure that this black child is not going to, if they started off at the same place as the white did, they are not going to come up with a passing score. So they give them 310 points.
Gotcha. What you just described is a bias. That's what you just described is a bias. And that's the one thing that needs to be thrown out, that bias.
I believe it too, because they penalize the Asian for studying hard, being prepared, parents working with them, and they get a negative 140.
And you're assuming that the African-American is not on par with the Asian. That's the nature of the bias. You need to throw that crap out. That's part of the problem.
Ruben.
About 5 minutes, and we're going to give you all a chance Ruben, to give a comment out there.
I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
It is true they're not on par with the Asian. You can look at your business. Look at the black female business. Hang on. You can look at the black female business. With double the number, they gross about $28,000.
Okay.
The Asian female outgrossed the white female at about $257,000. That's businesses. So what we're looking at is the preparation for what it is that you're doing in your productive life. If you're not well prepared, then you're going to have to take on something that's remedial. That's just the way it is. It ain't saying that people, Africans don't, Nigerians and them, they don't have that problem.
All right. I don't have time to respond to you.
I don't, I'll talk to you later. You going to be on Thursday?
Probably not. No, we're not. Thursday will be Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. Thursday is Thanksgiving. Well, everybody have a nice holiday. I got to go. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. 3072, thank you for joining us tonight. Yeah, final thought before we get out of here.
No, you guys are not going to be on, obviously, on Turkey Day, but you're just doing the Tuesdays?
Well, what we announced is that I'm going to be facilitating Tuesday discussion, and Mr. Ben Shelton was scheduled to do Thursdays, but we'll have to figure that out, and the frequency of that out. But I'm not doing Thursday nights anymore. We're just doing Tuesdays, and we strive to do at least an hour and a half to 2 hours on those evenings.
Okay, good deal.
Family emergency, so we didn't have show at all. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, great talk. I'm glad to hear you guys, and happy holiday.
Same to you. I appreciate you, and we hope everything go well down there in Florida, sunny Florida.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks again. And with that, we will bring to a close our episode here on Talk Straight. It was open mic. And as I said, we missed you on last week, but we're going to strive. When I say we, I'm talking about me, myself, and I strive to keep the dialogue going, the national dialogue going. And hopefully you can join us on next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. These sisters with these voices, boy, they done something to me. And I'm telling you, these last few minutes, I want y'all to hear them. They cut up, man. Listen to them. And we'll see y'all next week. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Thank you again for joining us there down in Jacksonville, Florida, and some in Peoria, Illinois, and St. Louis. Hey, girl.
And I tell you, I won't. Yeah.